All right, so we call the meeting to order at 6:05. Everyone would stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. All right, did everyone have a chance to look at the minutes? Entertain a motion for discussion. Any discussion on them?
Looks great.
Okay, all in favor of accepting the minutes as presented?
Aye.
Great. And now the first thing on the agenda, we have Tim Rose with us for RRA, UCRRA update. A lot of happenings.
Yeah, well, I was asked to come down today to talk about Gus, about the Green Ulster Sullivan proposal. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't call it a proposal, that's the wrong word. Study, feasibility. About 2 weeks ago, the county lent us a bus to go up to Mount Herkimer. To look at what Oneida Herkimer did in regard to getting two counties together, create one authority, and how that looked. And I'm going to talk to the executive director about the pitfalls and successes and that sort of thing. And who was on that trip was myself, Charlie Landy from our board, and Jack Hayes from the agency. Ken Ronk was there. Kevin Lewis, who's the chairman of the Greene County Legislature. There was another legislator there from Greene County. I don't recall his name. It was Mike something.
Anyone from Sullivan?
No, he was from Greene.
No, did anyone from Sullivan go?
Sullivan was Lou Alvarez, who's the chairman of the legislature. Mm-hmm. And he brought a woman named Donna Egan, who's head of their saw waste, their county. Both of these places, by the way, are county departments, authorities. So Donna Egan was there, along with their communications representative for the legislature. I don't know who he was. He was taking pictures and that sort of thing. He was a media guy, I guess.
Mike Bulick?
Yes, that was it. He met us up there. He was actually up there. Believe it or not, he was in Unicon Business that day. So it worked out well for him. He was a legislator from Greene.
And Ken hadn't had a chance to go before, had he? I've talked to him about it a bunch, but I feel like he missed the other trips.
I don't think he's ever went.
Good.
What sort of spurred this was, and you probably know from your guys' meetings, your solid waste commission meetings, I think regionalization is something we have to get, really because of the scope and the economy of scale. One county can't go on its own to do a lot of these type saw waste methodologies for treating MSW or C&D, whatever the case may be. A lot of these drop right out because of the volume. You just don't have the volume. So because of that, just economically, it doesn't work. And you're not going to end up with $200 a ton tipping fees. It just doesn't work. So we kicked around the idea. I talked about it with Fred Wanola, our chairman of the board, and said, if we're really going to look at some of these things, maybe look into doing a contractual agreement with the counties or something to bring in more waste or create a larger authority. There's a lot of ideas going around. So I know Fred spoke with Ken Ronk about it, and they said, well, I guess the first step is see if the other two counties are even interested, because if they're not, that drops them out, at least one of them, or whatever the case may be. So the other two counties talked with Ulster, and they said they might be interested. I said it was a good idea. It was at least worth looking at, because they're in the same boat. So I threw out the idea. I said, well, if you and the county legislatures, because ultimately it's going to be what the legislatures are going to approve this or not approve it, then really you should talk to Matt Herkimer, because they'll tell you what went wrong and what went right. You can hear it right from them. So that's what they decided to do. That's how the tour came about.
And how did it go? So, what were the general impressions?
I think it went really well. I sat next to Kevin Lewis on the bus, Lou sat up in front more, so I didn't get a chance to talk to him. But I sat in the back with Ken Ronk. We were just going around ideas. And I know at least talking to Kevin that he's definitely interested in looking at this. He's a business guy. Mm-hmm. He owns a resort. I don't know him that well. I just know him from the trip. But he owns a resort up in Greene County someplace. And he says from a business perspective, he said, this works. He said, mm-hmm. Look, we don't have enough trash in the county to do something on our own. We can't do it. And he said, but when you put all three counties together, then you got economy of scale. And if anything, you know, if you don't pursue any of these technologies like David Gordon went over here looking at Sorga, there's a Canadian company that makes ethanol out of MSW. There's a whole host of options. But he said, even if you don't pursue any of those, just if your purchasing power you have, even if it is still trucking, you'll get a much better economic deal. Like, for instance, right now we pay $49 a ton, T&D, trucking and disposal. Sullivan's paying $91. Well, I couldn't imagine paying $91. But they have half the waste that we have, you know? Mm-hmm. So the things that they're looking at is putting it all together. Plus, I mean, for them, it relieves employee payroll. You know, we talked about employees losing their jobs if this would happen. They would just come in and work for the new agency if they wanted to, or they could stay with the county or whatever they wanted to. But it would relieve their payroll. And like one of the legislators said from Green, said, well, we wouldn't have to worry about the solid waste issue anymore. You know, and I said, yeah. He said, at least we can just, Gus will take care of it. Gus will. Greenhouse for solid waste authority. But he said it would just absolve the county of any of the responsibilities of it. They haven't even written, I mean, Green hasn't done a solid waste management plan. There's some other advantages I see, at least separating the business aspect of it and focusing like on the environmental aspect. Green, they don't have a recycling coordinator. They don't have a real environmental type. Solid waste departments, so if you get this all under one envelope, you could have a larger focus on recycling, where you could have, you know, like a recycling person that's dedicated to Greene County and Ulster, Sullivan, and focusing on, you know, the schools and things like that. That can be done. And to be quite honest with you, I think you'd have to probably build a single stream MRF. I don't think the dual stream probably would, because everything is single stream at this point. So I think you'd have to invest in a new single stream plant. That's another idea. A lot of ideas being thrown around.
Are there questions out here?
And now, Cornerstone Environmental is a group that we normally deal with. I know they've dealt with Sullivan. They know Sullivan's facilities. They know our facilities. They're not as familiar with Green's facilities, but they are part of the largest solid waste environmental engineering company in the nation, Tetra Group. They're very well versed in solid waste. So I talked to them about doing a feasibility study, and they could do that. And they're going to get their proposal, so which I'll pass on to the board of directors when I see it. Now, verbally, there was a verbal commitment, I'm going to stress a verbal commitment, that the Greene County and Sullivan County would each kick in a third.
For the study,
and so.
Wouldn't you have to go out to some kind of competitive bid process for the study, just because it's a...
It's professional services.
Professional services.
You could. Yeah. You could go out with a study like that. I felt comfortable when I was asked who I knew, who I would feel comfortable with. I feel very comfortable, of course, only because I've worked with them before, mm-hmm. and they're on the top of their game. Not saying they're the only player in town. But they already have done a lot of work with Sullivan and us. They know mm-hmm. our facilities. If you do go out to bid,
you'd still have the latitude to choose whoever you wanted because it's professional services, but you get the benefit of seeing what other people were proposing.
You could, and you might save $5,000 or $10,000. You're not talking a new study. You're talking mm-hmm. a study that's probably $40,000. Mm-hmm. So you're not... I mean, you could stretch it out for another couple of months and do it that way, but I don't know if you're really going to save a lot, at least with the big firms. And there's not a small firm that I'm aware of that can handle this. You really got to have a firm that knows it.
Right.
Knows those these issues. Not only can do the environmental and the engineering side of it, but also the financial side too, and they've got all that. So you need a big firm like Cornerstone, or maybe Bartlett & Judas.
Mm-hmm. They're really they've done a lot. Yeah.
They haven't done it. They've never done anything for us. Or Sullivan, as far as I know, with Rain. But it doesn't mean they couldn't come in and learn all.
Right.
You know, learn it from the beginning. SCS engineers, they're another big group, but they're not really around here. They're more out the western part of the state.
Can anyone have a question? Okay. In terms of consolidating into one authority with Green and Sullivan, are we talking about maintaining the same procedures we're doing now, maintaining trucking and disposal, or is there discussion about one centralized landfill, just like Oneida Herkimer, like a full system, or are we just talking about?
There's a lot of things that we're talking about. Landfill is one of them. Mm-hmm. And sort of project, mm-hmm. the facility that Dave Gordon looked at, yep. Europe, that converts MSW into fuel for cement plants.
Yep. So what's that called, Sorda?
In Sorga.
Oh, that's that.
It's the one that came to us in the solid waste.
Yeah, that's right. It came to you guys. Mm-hmm. You still need a landfill with that one, so you're not going to get away from a landfill. Because you need a place to put all your C&D, and plus when that plant goes down, you need to be directed, and the plant will go down. You have to, the DEC is not going to allow you. They're not going to approve anything without a contingency plan. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, when Dave was in England, the plant went down and they had to start diverting it to a landfill. Or shortly before he got there, you know, he was saying. There's this other company called Enerchem. Enerchem out of Canada that converts MSW into ethanol. Mm-hmm. And they reached out to us because there was an article in the paper about this proposal to put the three counties together, and it came out like 2 months ago, I don't know if you saw it, mm-hmm. but it was in the Freeman. 2 or 3 months ago, but they reached out to us, a guy from Atlanta, and it's a Canadian company who was working out of Atlanta. But he said, well, when I saw this, he goes, what kind of tonnages are we talking? What kind of volume? And I said, if you put them all together with C&D and everything, you're talking around 230 a year. And he said, oh, he goes, well, we need a minimum of 350, or forget about it. And that's when this economy of scale comes in. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to build a plant like that, he said, economically, you can make the numbers work below 350. You got to have at least 350. Then I went to a conference, the Sagamore, mm-hmm. They hold every year, and believe it or not, one of their engineers was there and gave a talk on their process. And he mentioned, he wouldn't say where, but he said in New York City, we're looking at putting a plant in. Now I know, because I also heard through one of their other reps that they're looking at the Albany area of putting it in, because the Albany landfill is closing soon. So now there's this race to see what they can do.
Alternatives.
There might be volume there. And there's enough volume up there. You can easily do 350 a year. We do 120, just so you know. And Green does about 55, and Sullivan does about 60. So when you put them all together, it's somewhere in the 230 ballpark, 235. When I had a Herkimer's comparison, they do 220. So it's pretty close.
And someone analyzed, maybe a little early for this, but in terms of distances, you know, Oneida Herkimer's proximity to one another versus, you know, the outer edges of Ulster, Sullivan, Green, in terms of the idea of centralizing site and or centralizing services, which would require driving. Even when you talk about economies of scale, which with transportation and disposal, I wonder... you know, if your economies of scale, you're bidding together, but if the waste is coming from 100 miles away, if you get the same price as, you know, when you're talking it's coming from one central place, because everything's coming to our central.
You could do that a couple of ways. Mm-hmm. You could either, if you had the three counties, you could actually bring all the waste to one location within those mm-hmm. three counties and then ship from there.
Yep.
Or you could probably keep it as it is.
Create several
sub-sites and ship out of those sites. When I'm Herkimer, they're kind of unique because they're shaped like if you know Herkimer County, it's really long and narrow. Mm-hmm. And then down at the bottom where it attaches onto Oneida County, where Utica is, it's like, oh, almost looks like a club.
Like a little, yeah, like a club, I was going to
yeah, like,
say.
Yeah, like a golf club. Where it's heavily weighted down towards the bottom. That's where all their main
and the facilities
is. And then they ship it through long-haul trucks up to Boonville. And that's up on the Matter Herkimer Long Lake. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, about...
Town of Bayville.
Yeah, it's about 35 miles, I think, or 40 miles. Mm-hmm. So that's what they're doing, you know. So, I mean, I don't know. A landfill was discussed. It was thrown around the idea, and I think I mentioned it to you guys in the Solid Waste Commission about the old quarries up in, mm-hmm. up in Greene County.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been discussed for a long time, I feel like, just loosely.
It has been loosely. Fred and I, we met with DEC Region 4 back last September when they brought up the idea, and I'm going to be honest with you, and Fred knows this because he jokes about it all the time, and I said, Fred, this is going to be a 15-minute meeting. This is not going to, isn't going to be quick. They're not going to entertain this idea. We'll turn it into a couple-hour meeting. And they had seven representatives there, and they said, we would entertain that. And because you're not thinking in limestone, if you have a coarse quarry, you have limestone, which is very porous. Mm-hmm. But there's also a really hard, tight limestone mm-hmm. that you can put a landfill in. And yeah. So that's a possibility. Now the other thing is they're all privately owned, so would they be able to maybe want to sell it? Who knows? I can tell you this: the way it would work, if this is something the three county legislatures wanted to do, is first of all, you'd be in agreement. Yes, sounds feasible. The second thing is you'd have to write the Enabling Act, and that's what all three counties would have to vote on, mm-hmm. and then have a representative from a state representative, assembly person, carry the ball, and then have the authority created. What's interesting about that is I know this is something that I think you might probably understand, Tracy. In our act, it says you can't flow control recycling. But if you have a brand new agency, a brand new Enabling Act, you don't have to have that in there. You could flow control recycling.
And in our act, it's totally, I don't know if everybody in the committee knows, but in our act, it's totally unique in the state. There's no other agency in the state that is prohibited from having flow control of regulated recyclables. And no one can really say why it was put in, maybe special interest at the time that it was crafted. So I remember the discussions with Mr. Cahill from the Cash and Cahill Report, not Kevin Cahill, and he was saying he had never seen it before, and if we ever were to ask for a change, it's possible that we would get it. But certainly with a new one, I've always thought it curious, even though I would support flow control of regulated recyclables, I've always thought it curious that we're prohibited from it. So we're not even allowed the option,
yeah.
which changes the, it's something that we would have to enact anyway. There was some, that was mildly controversial for a period because there was misunderstanding in terms of the towns and the town recycling coordinators believing that when the legislature was having this discussion that we were talking about regulating recyclables, not flow control of regulated recyclables. So they were worried about scrap metal, things that aren't regulated that the towns make money off of, which was never a part of the discussion. It was only ever being discussed in terms of solidifying kind of the markets and the highs and lows for the agency, which bears the brunt when the recyclables are low. The agency and the county has, for a long time as an extension, took the hit on recyclables being low, and we benefited when they were high, right? So, but we didn't, and when it was high, the towns went and sold it on their own or, you know, made alternative arrangements. So, yeah. That's something... I for one, am happy that we're having these discussions. I know that the Solid Waste Commission, we met with Sullivan, and we had a very positive meeting, and there was...
They reached out to us.
Yeah, and there was a real sense of possibility with them. I mean, they've been through their own odyssey with their own landfill, but I think everyone sees that there's a need to do something to figure out... and I, having been to Oneida Herkimer at least a couple times, maybe more than two, think that it's a great... I think everyone should go to Oneida Herkimer. I believe that everyone should take a trip to there and to Delaware just to see the two systems that are working as whole systems, really.
And I agree, you're absolutely right. And they've never taken a nickel from either of the counties.
No.
They've been self-sufficient from the beginning.
Yep.
One of the things that would have to be... really discussed ahead of time, and everybody's going to have to be on the same page, is if three counties wanted to do this and they want to write the Enabling Act legislation, everybody's going to put a little... And some of the things that are, just so you know, I don't know if you know much about the enabling legislation. I know Tracy does, but for the rest of you, Amanda Jones does. But things that are in the Enabling Act is what actually Tracy agency, and it spells it out, how the agency would run. So it explains the board members, and if there's a chairman and a vice chairman. And, like one of the things that was thrown around in the bus is, okay, well, what would the board of directors look like? Well, you know, we thought since roughly Ulster has 50% of the waste and 25% from solid and 25% from green, it probably makes sense to have 5 appointments from Ulster, 3 from green and 3 from solid. So it'll be an 11-person board, which makes the sense. And the thing that Sullivan and Green liked about that is that the fact that Ulster would never have all the power, because Sullivan and Green could always outvote Ulster. Mm-hmm. But they do have a majority of the representation. So when we were talking about that on the bus, I know the legislators that I was speaking to, so I think that's probably a really good way to set it up. Mm-hmm. I talked a little bit about it. So, we have 3-year appointments. I really wish there were 5-year. Because in the solid waste field, you're looking 10 years down the road. When I have 3-year appointments and the board is changing over every year, you can't do anything. It's really a lame duck. You know, you got to be able to look at which points to what Bill Rabia, the executive director of Matter Herkimer, said. And I know he's told it to you guys, but he just said it again. He goes, look, we have 5-year appointments, and I have people on my board that have been appointed 3 or 4 times. So for 15 and 20 years, they've been on this board. And that's why we've been able to be so successful, because I can look 10 years down the road and stay on that path rather than looking down the road going this way and then this way and then this way and then constantly going all over the place, because you've got people with different ideas and, oh, I want to do this. So I think 5-year appointments are something that I would
and their board is, I don't remember the exact makeup, but their board is broken out so that depending on which county you're talking about, the executive gets certain, the mayor in one of the cities gets certain appointments, and the legislature gets appointments, and they can be elected officials or not, whereas on our board, you can't be any elected officials, but on theirs, they leave the option open. So it's certainly worth looking at theirs for a model, just because it has been so successful.
Right.
And their creation ran parallel to the attempt to create the same thing in Ulster County in terms of siting a landfill. And when Ulster stepped away from the controversy, they withstood the controversy, which was not easy. I mean, we talked to some of the board members in a couple of our visits. But now, because of their host community benefits, I mean, the agency almost pays the full budget of the town of Ava, very nearly the host community. They've done some really out-of-the-box things, like they put in, because they're self-sufficient, they purchased additional buffer lands, and then they put in snowmobile trails on the buffer lands for the community to use. They do the maintenance for the community's vehicles. They pay a pretty hefty benefit to the towns they drive through. They are in constant contact and on GPS, so if he said to us, if there's a funeral, we know about it and we'll reroute our trucks. You know, it's that kind of level. And so now they're a really not just functional member of the community, I think they're a very welcome member of the community.
Yeah.
But it was a process getting there. It was a hard process, which is why I feel like everyone should see it, because it's when you see it, and it's a versus a vision of a landfill of old with like steaming piles of moving paper and thousands of birds. It's like, it's not that. So it's definitely something. It's an education going there for sure.
And along those lines too, I'm glad you brought that up. Is what would happen to Sullivan's and Green's facilities? Well, essentially, I think the way it would work, it worked just like when Herkimer did. What they did is they created the authority. You've got that on paper, and you've got a board of directors trying to figure all this stuff out with an executive director. And then they approach the counties and towns and purchase theirs. And then once you do that as an authority, then you can pay those host community benefit fees. Mm-hmm. So that's the other thing that they like, too, from Sullivan and Green. That Gus would buy, I think there's 4 transfer stations in Green, would buy all 4 of those transfer stations and then start paying the host community benefit fee to those communities. So depending on the tonnage or however you want to break it out. So there's a whole list of ways you can do this. Sort of thing. Same thing in Sullivan. You can already buy those facilities. And now our facilities, because we still have debt. Now remember, they're county departments, so it's all rolled up into their general budget. But we still have debt. And the way it would work with us, and I checked with Rick McCarthy, he's our financial guy from down in Manhattan. He's been with the agency since day one. I told him about my idea, and he said it would work. And what I was thinking is that, okay, if this new Gus would buy all of Ulster's facilities for the same amount it owes in debt, that way the debt would be covered. You could put that money into escrow, and it would draw the escrow account until the bonds are defeased. And I ran that by Rick and said that would work. So he said you have to have both agencies running parallel for a while. So on paper, Ulster County Resource Recovery would still be there, but you may only meet as a board of directors. It could be the same people that's on the Gus board. Meet once a year just to pay the bonds, just to pass some resolutions to pay the bonds. They're paid off in 2025, so you only have... It's coming up. And so whatever that dollar figure is, you know, we owe like $7,000 or $8,000 principal, but with the tax, the interest is heavily loaded on the back end. So, in reality, you probably need $16 or $17 million, which is, you know. So, if Gus bought it for that, Rick could come up with the exact number. That money in escrow, and you don't have to worry about it. The money Gus would pay that back.
Can you not retire the bonds in advance if you have the money? It has to.
Yeah, that's what I was told. They've already, a lot of them have already been called. Yeah. So you can't refinance or pay them off early. So I was told the best way to do it is stick the money in escrow. Yeah. Just let it dry out every year and the bond payment's ready until it's done.
How was David Gordon's report on, other than the facility going down while he was there, how was that report? Is there going to be further investigation into that facility that's going up in Newburgh, potentially, right?
Yeah, next to Stewart Airport. Mm-hmm. I should clarify, I don't know if it went down when he was there or just shortly before, mm-hmm. but it was in that time
period. Yeah.
But he did, because he's the one who was telling me about diverting it to a landfill. They did buy a site next to the Stewart Airport, and they plan on building their own facility there. David's going to give us a full report, meaning the board of directors, in May, at the next board meeting. He talked a little bit about it at the last board meeting, but he didn't have all his pictures ready and stuff. So
when is your next board meeting?
The 26th, I think. It's the fourth Wednesday, whatever that is. The 28th. On my calendar, 26th.
We're at the 26th?
Yeah, 26th. At noon.
Okay.
So David's going to give I don't know what kind of presentation, but he's going to show pictures and things like that the next one. But what's sort of on hold is, you know, if you do this, if this Gus thing is something that you guys want to do, and the other legislature wants to do, it changes the whole paradigm of this whole thing. It's almost like putting the cart before the horse, so to speak. Of course, I think you got to figure out Gus, and if they don't want to do it, then you're back to just $120,000. And by the way, that Sorgan doesn't take C&D, like I mentioned. Mm-hmm. About 20% of our trash is C&D, so you know, you're down around the 100 mark.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that ballpark. Then we got that other company out of Canada that reached out to us.
But we're too small.
Even with Gus. They didn't have rental for $230 a year, obviously, and $183 at least $350. Yeah. So that's a big plan.
We don't need to incentivize more waste just to make that happen.
No. Although it's funny, when I mentioned it to the Greene County folks, one of them said, maybe we can convince them, if they're looking at the Albany area, maybe we can convince them to come just inside Greene and build a plant there, you know, and bring waste down. I think they're looking at for jobs, mm-hmm. economic development.
Yeah.
Yes, that's where we are. I don't know if it's going to go anywhere. I guess the next step is to do the feasibility study and see if it's feasible.
How soon might that happen?
You know, I was asked that the other day. I should ask Cornerstone, and I'm guessing here, but if the board accepts it at the 26th, because they have to pass a resolution to accept it and move forward, if the board accepts it, probably 2 months.
Okay.
You know, I did tell Cornerstone some money, you better put in your proposals. You're going to have to do a presentation for all three legislatures.
Mm-hmm.
So plan on going to legislative meetings for the three counties and be able to answer questions.
Yeah.
You know, you're just going to have to put that in there.
That's important.
So it'll probably a couple of months, you know.
Okay.
It seems like, I guess to wrap it up, it seems like that the other two counties are interested in doing something.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
You know, I didn't get a chance to talk to Lou a lot. I know from Donna, to call me on the phone afterwards, and saw this person.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, I just want to let you know that, you know, I talked to Lou, and it sounds like, you know, this is something that I think we really want to look at. And I said, yes, even if it's, I didn't know what was going to happen at the end. I don't know if Green was going to drop out, Sullivan wanted to stay, and that changes the dynamic, or the other way around, or see. It looks positive. It looks like they have something they want to do. So, and the structure too.
Okay.
And the organizational structure, you still have that 11-person board of directors. You can stagger those terms, obviously. I think the 5-year plan is the way to do it. And as far as the Enabling Act, you know, something Tracy brought up earlier, because Bill brought it up. Bill, on the bus, you know, you have 40 minutes or so on the bus to talk. So he talked a lot about his Enabling Act. He asked, you know, me things like, do we have a cap in our act for how much bonding we can do? Because a lot of authorities have that. We don't. They don't either. A lot of water authorities have that. He talked about the elected officials thing. He said, you know, and here's, they don't have any, they don't mention it. They don't mention it either, right?
Yeah, they don't prohibit it.
He said historically, they've never had elected officials on the board.
Have had elected officials on the board. I've looked at their makeup. They've had elected officials.
Okay.
Yeah,
definitely.
They definitely have.
Maybe a long time beforehand.
Yeah.
But in our act, there's no elected officials.
I suspect if we get to that point, hammering out all these details in the enabling legislation is going to take some time. I mean, it's, you know, everybody's going to, you know, you'd get all the key players and stakeholders at the table and,
right,
you know, and look at the model and look at what exists
one legislature might not want elected officials, go on does, who knows.
Right.
One thing they did come up, you know, talking about the board makeup up there, they have a 10-member board, which is bizarre.
Weird.
They have three from Herkimer County and 7 from Oneida. And they base it on population. You know, I said, well, you know, we're going to base it on part of the waste. But either way you look at it, it's about the same anyway.
Yeah. I feel like population makes more sense than waste, because waste can fluctuate if you're doing better or worse.
They're going to be relatively
good.
The only way you get skewed is if you have like a major manufacturing operation or something in a county, which none of the three counties do.
The problem is if you base it on waste and then all of a sudden you get a bunch of manufacturing facilities in one county, you suddenly get skewed just because one's creating more waste, which I don't think is something that should benefit them to get more board members. You know what I mean? In theory.
But I do like the 3-3 and 5,
yeah,
that breakdown,
sense.
Whether you just make it that, not based on anything.
Well, that's,
just
I mean,
say,
that's,
we're gonna
is,
make
I said population is pretty close.
Yeah, I'm sure it's close too. But you don't even have to tie it to one trending figure or another. You can just say, this is how we're going to be going forward, 3-3 and 5, because it makes sense with the two smaller. Just naturally, we can assume that Green and Sullivan are going to continue to be a little bit less than us in terms of total output of population or garbage. So I think trending-wise and looking to the future, it would hold for a very long time. You could even put a review time to...
The one thing to think about in terms of waste in terms of Sullivan is is going to have the casino and all its attendant buildings, both in terms of both through the construction phase and then once it exists. So I don't know what kind of waste... That could be a giant tourist center. Who knows?
I used to work down there for the state health department. I worked in Sullivan. I dealt a lot with the camps and so forth. Sullivan County's population, their normal population, is 75,000. In the summertime, it's used to over 300, you know, for about 3 months. So that's a huge difference in population. But even if you look at the population of 74, we have about 182 mm-hmm. in this county. You know, they have 75, I think.
Yeah, I think population
I think
makes
Green
much
is like
sense.
60 or something like that. So if you look at it, it's not close anyway.
Yeah.
When you talk about the ways the population follows it anyway.
Yeah.
I think
the one thing that did come up is at Herkimer. Herkimer is a legislative form of government, mm-hmm. and Oneida is a county exec form of government. Mm-hmm. So in the way it works there is Herkimer is legislature appoints three. The Oneida legislature appoints four.
An executive.
And the exec takes three. Mm-hmm. So you can even break it out that way here, where the Green and Sullivan are both legislative forms of government, so they just have their three from the legislature. But in Ulster, I don't know, would you want three from the legislature and two from the county exec's office? I don't know.
That's what I mean. It's going to take these things are going to take a while.
But they've always been legislature appointments.
They have.
So it just seems more natural to me to keep it legislative appointments.
Mm-hmm. But I'm sure this is going to be like every one of these details that we're talking about.
I'm sure.
If we get to the point where we're sitting around a table, it sounds really easy right now. But those are the things that are just it's going to be part of negotiation and also understanding what works and why. I mean. It's lucky that we have successful examples to draw from. Mm-hmm. So, Oneida Herkimer is a good resource for the discussion.
We're the only out of the three counties to have a city. So then there's the mayor. I mean, I think you've said in other places they've broken it down to as far as where like cities get appointed, like the mayor gets an appointment.
In Rockland County, the way it works there is they have a 17-member board, and the 17 members, every town supervisor, that's all elected officials.
Yeah.
Every town supervisor gets a seat. There's some legislators that get a seat. So it's all elected officials. Our fathers, whatever you want to call it, created this agency, decided that it would be the other way. But
this agency was created in part, as I understand it, to distance the legislature from the political pressure of siting a landfill, which is why they particularly probably kept members, elected officials off so that it could be a whole separate agency making it happen. And the push back, the expected pushback from the potential of a landfill siting wouldn't affect the elected officials. I mean, that's my understanding of the history of it. Of course, it didn't work. but
that was a theory that I was told by some of the people that were around when the agency
mm-hmm.
was created. So there's a lot of ideas out there. And like you said, it's going to take the three county legislators. The act is the first thing you're going to try to figure out.
I think the act and the goal. I mean, speaking as one legislator, I think the idea of regionalization is great and could be amazing, but I also want to know that we all have a common goal in terms of a full facility. Like, I'm not sure that I would support regionalizing just to share bids on trucking. You know what I mean? Like, to me, that's, have one agency take over the operations of all the transfer stations so we get lower trucking fees is not enough of a I want to know that we're working, same thing that we've said, same thing that Rich Parity said in the discussions of flow control, that we're working toward a full system. And I know when we met with Sullivan, that was very much on the front of the discussion. There's some hard things to work through, but I think times have changed enough that everyone can see that self-sufficiency is a power. You and I have talked about that a lot. And the concept that we're at the mercy of where we're sending our garbage, both in terms of cost and availability, because we've seen shutdowns. I mean, the historic shutdowns back in the day with New York City and not allowing garbage to leave the state lines created, piles up of trash on the street. It's a disaster. Exactly.
Yeah.
So self-sufficiency is something that I want to move towards. So I welcome any discussion as long as we're having that full discussion, not just consolidating for a better bid for T&D.
I do. It's a big push from the governor right now, right? Consolidation of services.
It's huge.
And I was going to try to look for money's out there maybe for the study. I mean, the study's not a lot of money, but You know, maybe we can get some kind of reimbursement. I did contact Ken Grinnell because I know that you know the county's looking at $20 million possibly for just for consolidation of services. And I called him. He said, "Well, he said, let me think about that. Let me check into it. Maybe you can tap into that money." And Ken called me back a few hours later and he said he can't do it because it's only for within the county. It's not doesn't spread across multiple counties. That's what he explained to me. So that's what that money has to be used for. So I tried to tap into that. But
it's worth reaching out to the governor. At the point that we're actually having real conversations, I think it's worth seeing what's out there for it anyway.
Now,
it's a different.
I do want to say this. I hate throwing a negative spin on things, but there was one authority that was formed that fell apart.
MOSA, yeah.
Montgomery, Otsego, and Schoharie counties. And that was, and I was told, I was asking a little bit about the history of that. He knows a lot about that as Mike Cahill and Rick McCarthy, both of them were involved in that. But, I was talking to Mike the other day, he called me up. I'm on the board of directors for the New York State Association for Solid Waste, and he's one of the attorneys on there, so we talk a lot. At board meetings and things like that. So he called me the other day, said, "I have a so I was talking about Gus, and I said, "Talk to me about MOSA a little bit too." And it was a marriage that wasn't right from the beginning, and the counties argued. And he said, "What really compounded that was the fact that they never passed the control." So if these discussions do start to go further, I just hope that the counties are talking to each other that flow control has to be an integral part of this. I hate to see the agency formed and also because, and I asked him, I said, "Well, how does an Ida Herkimer deal with the flow control?" And basically, what it is the same flow control law, just a Herkimer passes it, no Ida passes it, and they both say everybody's got to go to the authority.
And they accept no outside waste.
That's actually their act. I didn't know that. Now, Bill talked about that. I didn't know. I thought that was just some kind of law or something, but it's in their act.
Yeah, because the aim was for longevity, I think they saw failures in other places in terms of the pull toward money. That's totally what happened to Sullivan County. Sullivan opened up their landfill to outside waste, felt like, wow, we're making a ton of money, and then they were at capacity and they had all these other problems. And
it's their residents out. They're supposed to be there for their residents. And they were short-sighted. And that's what I talked about. They used up their air space. They do have one cell left they could build on.
Yeah.
But no, I actually looked into it. It would last about 13 years. If Gus were formed and you were able to that part of the landfill, it would last about 13 years.
They were very resistant.
All of Gus's?
Yeah. It would be about a 13-year cycle. But then what I didn't know was Donna from Sullivan told me it's within eyesight of the new casino. So
yeah, they were super resistant to
that
site, not necessarily a site, but that site. I think it was a trying time.
Yeah.
So
that's where we are.
All right. Does anyone have any other questions, comments? Thank you very much for coming.
Sure.
Thanks for the update.
No problem.
Okay. Old business, plastic bag legislation. So I mentioned before the meeting, Rich Trufon was talking about actually having a working meeting on that this meeting, but I suggested that he and I actually work down a draft to circulate to you all versus having the same conversations. I think I have a sense of where people were, and I certainly have a sense of where the sticking points are. And not just sticking points, but the points that are open for discussion. So I'll sit down with Rich. We will make decisions and plug something in those sections, but it'll be for discussion purposes. The next step is not to introduce something and then be working on it. We're going to have another working session. And Rich really felt that we should be moving forward on it. So that's that. Climate Smart Committee.
Climate Smart. One of the values of Climate Smart is the networking amongst the towns. So there's a lot of sharing about that. Different towns are doing different things. But I think what relates most to this committee is that we've been talking about trying to find a way This also comes from Public Works, so I'm the Public Works representative to Climate Smart. We've been trying to figure out some kind of proactive way that Public Works can look at the various policies that we have in place. Like when Rob Parody was in the legislature, he developed a series of sustainability policies, and there's a whole manual of that. I think that there may also be a series relating to green building and renewable energy, or it may be incorporated in that, and also green stormwater infrastructure. I'm not sure exactly which policies are in place or not, and I was actually, since Tracy was there and Mary was there for most of the earlier stuff before the three of us were on the legislature, if there's a way, I don't know if they're stored in some order that they could easily
I think I have it wouldn't be current, it wouldn't be within these 2 years.
I'm having extreme difficulty hearing right now, and I'm in the process of getting that remedy, so shout out.
Okay. I think I have, I'll have to look for it at home, I think I have a guide that was created of all the policies in place up to a certain point, which that point was probably about when you came on the legislature, 4 or even 6 years ago, but it's certainly, the last 4 or 6 years would be easy to search, and Amanda would have those readily accessible, so the older ones are probably the slightly more important ones to make sure that we're capturing, because I know... just even on environmental issues, I was looking for the neighbor notification law, and that took me forever to find. Now that we have the Google search in it, the way that I actually, and Vicky was having a hard time finding, the way I finally found it was with hard copy in my files at home, I was able to say what year and what resolution number, so it's not so easy pull all this stuff together, but someone at some point did it a few years ago, so let me see what I can find, and I'll reach out to Amanda too and ask her. Had you asked Amanda about it? Had you asked Amanda about it?
I didn't directly.
Okay.
And the reason is I still, you know, I've been in the legislature 3 years, and I still don't understand the chain of command, if I can just call Amanda or not, and I don't want to you know, bypass or whatever. So I haven't. It's been on my to-do list just to ask her, do I need to go through Ken Cornell? Actually, I should have asked Ken while he was here. But the idea would be to sort of create a checklist and then ask Public Works if they would, when they bring these resolutions to us, they would indicate in a whereas that they have
complied,
you know, looked at that this particular capital project fulfills this sustainability principle or actual policy. And they're very open to doing that. I mean, there is no resistance at all. I think it's just going to take some legwork. Suzanne was very open to it, and now Brian Cunningham is acting, you know, Public Works, what's the title?
Director, or commissioner.
And you know, he's also very open to this, but they suggested that maybe this would come from energy and environment at Public Works. So there's sort of a triangle, because Climate Smart is supposed to advise the county on steps they can take to improve climate, which includes, you know, solid waste, it includes water, because if stormwater is managed properly, then less energy is generated at wastewater treatment facilities, et cetera. So it all ties together, but I wanted to bring it up here because, you know, maybe we can create kind of a collaborative effort. I don't see this as urgent, but it's sort of on my to-do list that in the next year, say, we take whatever steps and have the conversations we need to have to make it more automatic, not an afterthought, not, well, you know, we ordered through state bid. Well, there are a lot of green alternatives that are included in state bid, for example, the electric vehicles, but also in terms of paving. There's porous paving. How much more expensive is it? Are there certain applications where it really is a better product and worth the investment? And, you know, Herb Litz and Jim Maloney and Pete Lauren all want to see this happen, but also want to see it happen in a way that is fiscally responsible. So that's sort of a project that I want to take. So if that could be a first step, Tracy.
I'll see what I have. I think also the benefit of doing that, of revisiting everything and cataloging it so that it becomes automatic, is also we in the legislature will see where there are holes in our policies or where we want to update our policies or where we want to ask for more. As an automatic, for example, we passed a LEED building standard policy that's for new construction, but I believe, I have to look at it again, I think I was the author or co-author of it, but I believe that we required that major renovations at least consider LEED and explain why not, but I'm not sure that that's... That's happened to the exact letter of the policy in terms of reporting back to us, because as you say, it's, you know, it's something that was written years and years and years ago and is filed somewhere. So I think that's
that
a good
will even relate to
the courthouse,
the government efficiency and review. I mean,
yes,
they looked at, and I'm on that committee as well, so I'll just let them know. But I see this as a real opportunity for a collaborative effort because nobody's making anybody wrong.
Right.
Things are being done very often in the way they've always been done. And, you know, there are times where a little bit deeper analysis might be a worthwhile investment. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of a project that came out of Climate Smart back and forth with Public Works, and then they suggested that this is really the committee that, but I think we can all work together on
yeah.
it. So. And I'm just trying to think, this was June, so yeah, in July, at the July meeting, we're going to do an update on the clean energy communities to see where Ulster County stands in relation to other counties. We've, between the county and also Kingston in particular, the city of Kingston, I think more money in the 7-county Mid-Hudson regional area is coming to Ulster County for Climate Smart, for clean energy communities than any other. You know, we really have taken a lot of leadership and been recognized for that. Solarize Hudson Valley is making really great progress, and the Streetlight Consortium. So that's a quick summary. Some of the details, you know, will be in the minutes. I don't need to go over all the details, but those were the main things that related to this committee.
Okay, thank you. Solid Waste Management Improvement Commission, we're in a kind of holding pattern. I did a rework of the document and handed it off to another member who was going to work on two sections and hasn't come back from that. I think that Fawn and I, hopefully in the next week, depending on Fawn's schedule and my schedule, maybe can start formatting. It's pretty close, and as you heard with UCRRA, things are happening fast. We're going to have to incorporate some of what's happening with the agency in the report in order to be up to date. Exactly. So
I was thinking about that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of that stuff that we've gone over in the commission. It's just a matter of getting the report into shape. So that's where we're at with that. And hopefully within a month from now, we'll be close, if not finished, to getting it out. Does anyone have any other old business? Any new business? Okay, so I just want to bring up something briefly, just based on something Legislator Berkey said earlier, talking about the fair, got me thinking last year, and I think, Manna, you brought this up too, last year at the county fair, there were, and this is really for this committee, there were a surprising lack of recycling containers, and then there were some vendors. I've seen some vendors on the site with styrofoam as well in other events. So I feel like we need to reach out to Gary Newkirk or whoever with the fair just to make sure that they're at least upping their recycling presence. I know that we've done things in years, many years past. Manna talked about a program years ago, some kind of composting program, right, or recycling program on site, and that's great. I don't know if that's going to happen in such short order, but we want to make sure that they're at least set up to be following the letter of the existing laws, which mean that you can't be throwing away plastic in the regular trash.
A good project for Cornell Cooperative, one of the 4-H things, I'm sure.
Yeah,
maybe
so
not for this year.
It might be
a little bit too late, but
yeah. They're making milkshakes and paper cups.
They do.
So,
well,
as long as you don't take them away from the milkshakes.
They do, although a couple of years ago, they had to run a Sam's Club because they ran out. Styrofoam was all they had. And that's really their policy. It was before our
government. Oh, before us. Oh,
but,
okay.
But their policy was not to use it either.
Anyway, yeah.
But they...
But, yeah, I know that when I was there with my daughter and walking around, I saw tons, I mean, when I say hundreds of plastic water bottles and soda bottles in with the garbage because there were not enough readily available recycling containers. And while that requires quite an effort to have that many containers for that many people, we're lucky to have such a great fair that's so well attended. We've got to do it because, not just it's the responsible thing to do, but it's what our policy, it's what our standing law has been for many, many years. So I just want to, I'm going to reach out to, I don't know who to start with before calling them directly, but just to make sure that they're aware that we, at least on this committee, want to make sure that that's happening.
They just left from Cornell.
Yeah. That's right. When I saw her, she said fair. I was like, oh my gosh, it's almost the fair again.
Yeah, we were written up. Ulster County was written up. The Ulster County Fair was written up in BioCycle magazine as the most progressive recycling and composting program from Maine to Florida. They called us the Blue Ribbon Fair. We were doing... 30% of the waste stream was getting recycled, plus they were doing rendering. And then we had it close to 50% when we added in composting. And we did composting right on site, no odor. People were absolutely amazed at it. It was a project between UCRA and Cornell Cooperative Extension. And I can't tell you how many people went home and started composting after seeing that mm-hmm. demonstration. So, we can do it. And if it's a question of a little bit of equipment, because we were charging all the vendors an additional $5, and then we had a team of volunteers that put in 60 volunteers over the course of the fair that put in half the time going out and collecting the recyclables or the compost in, you know, 5-gallon pails, and then the other half of the time they enjoyed the fair. And then we paid for an extra pickup from, at the time it was probably Ulster Sanitation or Lamella or whoever it was. I know who it was. It was Robeson's, if anybody remembers back. And it worked really well. These things take somebody to cheerlead. But it is still mandatory. Nothing has changed about the law. It's just that sometimes we kind of backslide and there's so many things that everybody has to think about. But, Tracy, who are you suggesting actually reach out to the director of the fair to make sure? Because we don't have very much time.
I don't know.
It's coming up.
Yeah, I'm not sure who the, in terms of the protocol, I was just going to go straight to
it's
the top
weeks.
And call him. I was just going to call him the executive's office directly and just
I think that's fine. And
yeah.
They do have a committee they answer to. It was probably
the one that just left programs.
The one, yeah.
I'm guessing.
And
right?
Then we should also be sure that whoever in the executive branch they do answer to knows that we're, you know, we don't want to be bypassing them, but also. Because there's not a lot of time.
Right. We definitely had this discussion in this committee last year right after the fair. Because several people came and talked about it, about how it was a great fair except this, and I didn't want to besmirch it, you know, on the record. But now, since it's before, I feel like we need to really just make sure that... And in terms of the composting... that's probably not going to get together for this year, but I see it as a real missed opportunity as we're upping our own composting in the county, a missed opportunity to showcase what's possible and what the county's doing and how, you know.
I'll find that article and scan it and send it around. But also, one of the ways to approach it might be to offer to help. And if you want to set up a meeting between now and then, just to maximize what they can do with what they have for this year, and then start a conversation for improving it for the future, because I think Cornell would love doing that again. It wasn't hard. It just took somebody paying attention to it.
And coordination, like you said, cheerleading and coordination.
But if you, I would make time to go out there.
Okay.
And just have, a conversation where we can bounce ideas, see what they are doing, and, you know.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Because it is a real highlight for our county and our community. That's all I had on new business. Anyone else have anything? Okay, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Make motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
It is 7:09.